fasting, remember this
period when everyone was fasting, it's thought that servant girls were baked simnel cakes, which of course have religious symbolism because they are decorated with 11 balls made of marzipan, and I love marzipan, 11 balls made of marzipan to represent the 11 disciples minus Judas. And so these cakes, these simnel cakes with this religious overtone, would be taken home to give to their mothers as gifts of love and gratitude. Because actually, and this is convenient, Sundays are not included in Lent's traditional 40 days. You fast for 40 days, but Sundays you actually have a day off. So they became a special midterm, mid-Lenten treat, as it were. Wonderful. I'm all for that. And so these cakes, along with flowers and chocolates, became gifts of love and gratitude to give to our mothers. Now, if I was to ask you, how would you describe your mother, what would you say? What words would you use to describe her? Kind. Caring, patient, perhaps, generous. I'm sure you've got all these words floating around in your minds. Our mums are all of those things, aren't they? They look after us, they tend us, they feed us, they nurture us, and they protect us until we're able to do all these things for ourselves. And in the process, they teach us how to wash, how to dress, and how to feed ourselves. And that can be quite a challenge, can't it, if you've ever seen little children at this time. Plenty of boys and girls, little boys and girls, have come downstairs with their shoes on the wrong feet, their pants on back to front, and their buttons all awry. And we haven't even got to tying up our shoelaces yet or putting on a tie. In fact, getting dressed can be quite a performance all of our lives. Just ask any man who's tried to put on cufflinks or tie a bow tie. And as for women, well, I'm not even going to go there, all right? But in our passage for today, Paul reminds us how as Christians, followers of Jesus, we need to put on some clothes, some special clothes. The right clothes, in keeping with our status and our callings and our calling as Christians, as disciples, as followers of Christ. Now, in my service list, which gets published on your Pew News, I had originally thought of calling this sermon Setting Your Hearts on Things Above, which is a phrase taken from the very first verse of this chapter from the Colossians chapter 3. And in this uncertain world and the times in which we currently live, it's not actually a bad thing to do to set your mind on things above. But actually, as I have said, that phrase comes from verse 1, and our passage for today starts with verse 12. And so if I was going to give my sermon a new title, which I am, I would call it Dressing the Right Way. Dressing the Right Way. Because it doesn't matter how young or old you are, we must all learn to dress the right way. Paul, in his letter to the Romans, chapter 12, verse 2, says, "Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, his pleasing, and perfect will." And here in Colossians, he shows us how to do that. By first of all, taking off our old clothes and doing away with all the things which spoil and mar our relationship with God and indeed with one another, which he says in verses 5 to 8, which is just before the bit we have today. He says, "Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived. But now you must rid yourself of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Turn your back on it. Do away with it. Because if Mum was here, what would she say? She would probably say, "What on earth are you doing?" Now, I know that nobody is perfect. And when we think of our mothers, we tend to overlook their faults and think of them as just lovely, kind, caring, loving, and compassionate. Because that's part of their God-given makeup and how they treated us as children. And in just the same way, Paul says here in verse 12 and following, he says, "Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you." Now, may I remind you that getting dressed is hard. These things don't just happen or come naturally. It takes a lot of hard work and practice, and sometimes, yes, our shoes will be on the wrong feet and all of our buttons will have gone awry, but we need to keep at it. We need to keep practicing, because actually it's all the other stuff, the bad stuff, which comes to us naturally, but this needs working at every single day of our lives. And it doesn't matter if you're 2 years old or 92 years old, you've got to keep practicing putting on these special clothes until in Christ it becomes second nature. "Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have. Forgive as the Lord forgave you." And there's the rub. With compassion, kindness, and patience, we're told to forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And of course, we all know that forgiveness is one of the hardest things to do. And sometimes within families, it can be the hardest place of all to forgive. But I'm so glad that my mum frequently forgave me for all the silly things I did and the mistakes which I made. And she loved me regardless, because in her own way, she was acting out the Lord's Prayer: "Father, forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us." Because unless we can find the grace within us to forgive, it will simply take root in our hearts and minds and grow into something else. It will grow into bitterness, which will not only hurt the people around us, but cause considerable harm to ourselves. You'll perhaps remember that in Paul's other letter, his letter to the Ephesians, he describes the armor of God as being tied together with a belt of truth. That's Ephesians 6:14. But here, the clothes that he's describing, the clothes that you might say we have for everyday life, these are tied together with something different, but just as powerful. Colossians 3:14, "And over all these virtues, put on love." Put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Now, of course, you all know, those of you of a certain age, that the Beatles used to sing, "All You Need Is Love." I would actually suggest that today, in our modern day and age, we need both the belt of truth and love. But it is true that without love, you'll never find peace and you'll never find unity. Now, Lent is, of course, a penitential season, a time when we consider and reflect upon our own lives in the light of the gospel and before our Lord Jesus Christ. And it seems to me that in many a home, it's Mum who is the homemaker, trying to nurture growth and promote peace and reconciliation between her unruly children. Which, of course, is precisely what Paul is exhorting the Colossians to do in verses 15 and following. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, one family, you are called to peace. And be thankful. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, as you sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. It's not always easy, is it, to get dressed in the morning? I only learned a few days ago or a few weeks ago how to tie my shoes so that the laces didn't come undone. But with Mum's encouragement, we can usually do it. And now, in the same way as members of the body of Christ, we should do our best to put on the right clothes and present ourselves as well as we can to the world, equipped to tackle it with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and peace. Because these are not just general worldly values, they are deeply Christian ones, deeply Christian virtues, may I say, demonstrating the love, peace, and reconciliation that we find in Christ. And whatever we do, we should do it in the name of the Lord Jesus, with gratitude in our hearts, giving thanks to God for all that he has given us in Christ. For many children, Mum may be a safe space. But for us as Christians, it is God who is our safe space, our rock, and our refuge. So let's give thanks to God, and on this Mothering Sunday, let us join together by eating a bit of similar cake as we show our gratitude and give thanks for our mothers. And so finally, let us bring this sermon together by saying a prayer. Caring and compassionate God, speak to us today through the love shown by mothers of your love for us all, the love that brought us into being, the love that has nurtured us across the years, the love that welcomes us here today and that will go on reaching out, come what may, for all eternity. Help us, as we honour what motherhood means, to honour you also, recognising that you show the same devotion and more, an unswerving commitment to your children's welfare, and teach us as part of your family to respond accordingly, loving you in return, expressing our gratitude, and living as you have taught us. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.